Last Sunday night, we started this message entitled, Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You know, that's what God wants us to do. He just simply wants us to trust Him, to believe Him. And all throughout the centuries, that has been one area that His people have struggled with over and over and over again. Do you know why the children of Israel didn't cross over at Kadesh Barnea into Canaan's land and they wound up having to wander around for 40 years? One reason. They didn't believe God. That's the only reason. They did not believe God. It required faith for them to cross over. And you know, one of the reasons why I find that the church is not experiencing at times all of the blessings that God intends for them to experience is because we simply don't believe Him. And if we believe Him, we trust Him. Amen? We know that the Bible says that he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You know what faith is? Faith is just simply taking God at His word, believing, trusting God. I think probably if I were to go to many of your homes tonight and to wander around and just kind of look at what you have hanging on the wall, some of you would probably somewhere have Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 hanging up on the wall of your house. Anybody like that? You have that somewhere in your house, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. All right, there's a few of you like that, which says what? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now, there are so many things that we say, I believe God, I trust God for this. Now, folks, listen. Sometimes we say, I'm trusting God for my salvation. How many of you here tonight are trusting God for your eternal salvation? Let me see your hands. If your hand's not up, you're going to hell. That's just all there is to it. I mean, I don't know how else to put it to you, but if your hand's not up, that reminds me of the story of the pastor who was having a difficult time with a man who just always was sleeping through his sermons. Every time he got up to preach, this guy would go to sleep. So he devised a plan to try to get this guy to wake up in church. And so he decided that all of a sudden he was going to, with a loud voice, and say, anyone that's on their way to hell, stand up! And he said, anyone that's on their way to hell, stand up! And the man was startled awake, and he stood up. And he looked around, saw everyone who was sitting down. He looked at the preacher, and he said, preacher, I don't know where we're going, but you and I are the only ones standing up. So, you know, look, there are a lot of people that say, I can trust God with my forever. But they don't trust Him to put food on the table next week. I'm going to trust God with my eternal salvation. But I'm not going to trust Him for a job. I'm going to trust God to forgive every sin I would ever commit in my life, but I'm not going to trust Him with my marriage. Do you know, there's a little bit of duplicity in that philosophy of life as a Christian. Do you see that? Folks, listen. If I'm willing to say, okay, Would you watch my kids for a week? I'm going out of town. Will you keep my kids? Okay? I don't have anything, really honestly, I don't have anything that's more valuable to me in this world than my children. In this world, how many of you parents would agree with that statement? There's nothing that I have that can even begin to compare to the worth of those kids to me and Linda. You know? So, if I would trust you with my kids, why wouldn't I trust you to pick up my mail for me? Do you understand what I'm saying? If I would trust you with my kids, why wouldn't I trust you with the keys to my car? That is, unless your license is suspended or something like that. But do you know, if you would trust God with your eternal soul, the value of which is inestimable, why is it that we won't trust Him with the simple things of life? And all throughout the Bible, God is admonishing us to trust Him, to trust Him. The Bible here says, trust in the Lord in verse 3, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And the Bible says in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Oh, trust also in Him. There we go again. Trust in the Lord. And I believe there are some specific things that we can draw from this psalm that we need to relinquish to the care of the Lord. We need to say, God, I'm going to trust You with this. I'm going to trust You with this. Now, in verse 1 it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Again, we find in verse number 8, it says, or in verse number 7, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. In verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now, let me say this. I talked to Brother Hilmer this morning, and he said, Pastor, I was just kind of going through some stuff and found that the word fret really has as the underlying meaning to become angry, deals with anger or wrath. And you know, I spent some time this afternoon doing some searching too. It's interesting. If you go to your Strong's, one of the word renderings there for the word fret in the Hebrew is vexation or to vex. Now, when we worry, our soul is vexed. Now, it also gives us the indication in this passage that I'm not going to get vexed or aggravated in my spirit to the point where I'm going to try to take matters out of God's hands and into my own hands to try to deal with the workers of iniquity. Now, I pulled down my Webster's 1828 dictionary, and I've been doing that a lot lately, and I opened it up to the word, to where it says worry. You know what it talks about there? Anger and vexation. Because sometimes we just think worry is sitting around thinking about stuff that we don't have any control over. But worry is the expending of emotional, spiritual, physical time and energy vexed over the circumstances of our life, and that can be aggravating to you. We worry about that. Most people that are worriers don't just think on things. They are upset about things. And really, that word fret gives us the indication that there is some upsetness, that I'm aggravated about some things. And so, when we come to the Lord, we need to be willing to give Him those things for which we are worried and upset about. And it may be an inequity that we see. And just like the children of Israel in the book of Malachi, they wondered, where's this God of justice? And they didn't see it. They saw evil workers prospering, and they thought that God was somehow unjust, and they were looking for Him to make everything right, and they were agitated and aggravated. And I'm saying to you, there are some things that we worry about in our lives, and God wants us to trust Him with those things that we worry about, those things that vex our spirit, that trouble our soul, that have us all up in arms. And I believe tonight that God wants you to take that thing that you're sitting around and thinking on and getting upset over and your soul is vexed by and say, Lord, I am laying that at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, for I have no control over these issues, and God alone has the ability to change this. You need to trust God with those matters over which you are troubling and obsessing that you have no control over. Give them to Jesus. You know, folks, listen, sometimes I'll have someone come in and they're all upset because they think, you know, maybe their spouse is doing something at work, or maybe they're having some wrong relationships at work and things like this. And I ask them, I normally ask them a few questions, but and I'm not trying to be dismissive, but sometimes I ask a question, do you know emphatically that something is happening that is sinful? Well, no. And I normally say, let me explain something to you. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you think you know. You only know what you know. Okay, let me say that again. Okay. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you think you know. You only know what you know. Okay? You only know what you know. Now, who is the father of lies? Satan. Who hates your marriage the most? So, what does Satan do the best? Well, what he's the father of, he's a liar. So, you know what he wants to do? He wants to put lies in the minds of people who are paranoid. And that paranoia, do you know what it is at its heart? A failure to trust in God. Now, Linda tomorrow morning is going to get in a car and drive to work. When she walks out that door, do I have any control over her? When she gets in that car and drives off to work, do I have any control over that woman's life? No. So, do you know the best advice that I could give me when my wife goes off to work? Commit her to the trust and care of God. Because you know what? I don't have any control over it. I just got to say, Lord, she belongs to you. You love her more than I do. She's yours. I'm going to trust you with her. I'm not going to sit home and worry about what might happen today. Right? Because really, when I become vexed and agitated in my spirit, I'm expending spiritual, emotional, and physical energy that God doesn't intend for me to expend. And the heart of that is a failure simply to trust God. Trust Him. He wants you to trust Him with your worries. He wants you to trust Him with your wants. Whatever it is that you want. We know the Bible says here, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And literally what that means is not that God is going to give you whatever you want. It means this, that He will place within your heart the yearning for the things that are His will for your life. He will place within your heart the yearning for those things that are within His will for your life. And so we need to just commit those things that we want to Him. And like we said this morning, we need to surrender our will and say, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. And so whatever it is that God wants for me, that's what I want for myself. And so that should be the cry of every heart. And if you believe that God knows you the best and loves you the most, then you should trust Him with that. Say, God, whatever You want for me, that's what I desire for myself. That's what it means when it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. The Bible says in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. So not only do we need to trust Him with our worries and trust Him with our wants, but we need to trust Him with our way. That's the course and the direction of our life. Verse 23 says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in His way. And He knoweth the way that I take, Job said. But when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. And we need to just believe that God knows which way is the best for us. And sometimes we obsess ourselves with the where of God's will for our life, but what God wants us to concern ourselves with is not the where of God's will, but the what of God's will. You see, you may think, well, I need to go to Kansas, you know, and you're sitting there saying, you know, there's no place like home, no place like home. You're trying to get back to Kansas, and you think Kansas is the place you ought to be, you know, and Ken folks said California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and, well, I didn't forget it. But anyway, So anyway, some people think, I want to be here, I want to be there. I talk to people all the time and say, you know, I'm going to move up in the mountains, I want to move to Flagstaff, I want to move here, I want to move there. And, you know, they think that if I have a change of location, that is the will of God for their life. Can I tell you something? You might be in the place of God's appointment, but if you're not doing the thing that God has appointed you to do, you're outside the will of God for your life. You know what? God would rather you be in some abstract place doing what is right than where you think is the place God wants you to be doing whatever you want to do. The fact that you're in a zip code that you think is where you want to be and God should want you to be, and so therefore you've determined that that's God's will for your life, doesn't mean you're going to do right. That's why the Bible says this commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You see, you've got to say, Lord, I'm going to do the right thing, and in the course of doing the right thing, I'll trust you to lead me in the right way. That's what He wants you to do. You know what? Listen, if you're not serving the Lord at Freeway Baptist Church, you won't serve the Lord at First Baptist Church in Paducah, Kentucky. Okay? If you're not serving the Lord at Freeway Baptist Church, you're not going to do it at you know, the little brown church in the Dale and wherever you think is calling you. I'm saying until you come to the place where you're willing to commit your life to the Lord and serve Him where you are at, you'll never do it wherever you think you want to be. Period. And so we've got to trust our way to the Lord and say, God, I'll let you determine the direction of my life and I will concern myself more with what you would have me to do than with where you would have me to be. Amen. I tell you, it's amazing to me. I talk to people and they say, well, we're thinking about joining the church, and they want to know, do you have an outreach program in the church? And I say, well, yes, we do. We have a good outreach program in the church, and we have scheduled times for folks to go on visitation and soul winning, and we have scheduled opportunities throughout the year where we reach out to the community, and we do. We consistently have an outreach program. So they join the church, and guess what? They never reach out. They never turn up on a Saturday. They never go out on a Tuesday. They never get calls from Brother Joshua. They just want to know that the church has it. So, you know what? Listen, you need to be concerned more about what would God have you to do. Amen? Now, I wouldn't be a part of a church that didn't have a soul winning program. But if they had one, I'd be a part of it. That didn't get a very good response. Instead of saying amen, we wanted to say oh me, right? We said also, the Bible tells us in verse number 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So we need to trust the Lord with our wrath, because God has called us to be a people characterized by meekness. And it is the meek that He said here would inherit the earth. And meekness is a quality and a virtue that the Lord Jesus Himself said that He had. In the book of Matthew chapter 11, the Lord said there in verse 29, I am meek and lowly in heart. So, in the only place where you can find Jesus characterizing His own temperament in the Bible, He said this, I am meek. And meekness is not weakness. Meekness is as possessing power and authority, but using it righteously for the good of another. When I see somebody messing up, I have the power to cloud up and thunder on them and tell them what's what, but I'm not certain that that would be the very best thing and a way to deal with that situation. So I want to use whatever knowledge and ability that God has given me righteously for the benefit of someone else. The Lord lived His life and ministry for the benefit of others. It was never for Himself. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. He that would be the greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. And that is practically meekness in action. And so God has called us to be meek. And though we may say, I feel justified in fighting fire with fire whenever I see something that's not right, there are times where meekness will override that thought process and will cause us to become a peacemaker, not an agitator. But you know what? When you are willing to say, Lord, I'm going to give my angry emotions to you, you've made the decision that I'm going to trust you with my wrath, my anger issues. And you'll be robed upon with meekness. And you can, even as we read here, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have peace than war. Right? Now, I'm not going to run from whatever God appoints for me to deal with. Sometimes you have to be ready to take a stand. And I know that we're in a spiritual warfare. But God doesn't really call us to fight against our brothers or sisters in the Lord. In verse number 3, look at it again. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be what? Fed. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Look at verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Look at verse number 21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. I believe that it is important for us not only to trust Him with our worries and trust Him with our wants and trust Him with our way, but and to trust Him with our wrath, but to trust Him with our wealth, with our will, whereby that we're willing to say, okay, Lord, I believe that You are Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord our provider. The Lord our provider. I want to share something interesting with you from God's Word. May I do it? I believe that there is a misconception in the world of Christianity today on the part of many that somehow that if you're not wealthy, you don't have enough faith. How many of you ever heard that notion out there on the airwaves, the television? You've heard that notion that if you don't have money, you don't have faith. Now, obviously, the Bible rebuts that notion in James chapter 2 when it reveals to us there, and it asks this question, hath not God chosen the poor of this world who are rich in faith? Rich in faith. You know, people who have never had to trust the Lord for a meal really have never had to live practically by faith. But man, when you're living on top ramen and there's not anything in the house, and there's just not even two red pennies to rub together, and the ramen's running out, do we learn anything about trust in the Lord in those moments? Yeah, well, maybe we do, maybe we don't. Depends on how long we want to be in that situation. But the truth of the matter is this, that you can have a strong measure of faith and still not be wealthy. But true riches are not determined by a dollar figure. Did you hear me? True riches are not determined by a dollar figure. So, look, you may have healthy children. Can you put a price tag on that? No. So there are things that God gives us that are a blessing that when we consider our true riches. Now, sometimes people think, you know, my job my training to get the job, my hard work, my paycheck. That's how they think. My training, my hard work, my job, my paycheck. Oh? Listen to what Deuteronomy chapter 8 says. It says in verse 18, or verse 17, "But thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." Did you hear me? So, there are those out there that are like verse 17 that say in their heart, "My power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. My training, my hard work, my job, my paycheck." But God says, "Remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." So, if you had some training, it was God that gave you the aptitude to receive the training. If you worked hard, it was God that gave you the health to do it. If you have a job, it was God that provided the opportunity. If you can go to work on Monday morning, it's the Lord that gives you the breath to breathe. The Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's, and all that dwell therein, the sky and the sea, and all that dwell therein." Listen, I'm saying to you that He owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the wealth in every mine. And that job that you have was not something that you created for yourself. And I'm not adopting some partisan line from out of the news. But what I'm saying is this: God gave you that job. God gave you the ability to get wealth. It wasn't the government. Government had no role in it. Right? Who was it? It was God. And any time He wants to take it away, it's within His prerogative to do it. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So folks, we've got to come to the place where we're willing to say, "I'm going to trust God with my wealth. Whatever it is that He wants from me, then I'm going to trust Him with that." Thank the Lord that we have some folks that understand that we're to, in whatsoever state we're in, therewith to be content. The Bible says, "And be content with such things as you have," in Hebrews 13, verse 5, where He has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And we need to come to the place where we say, "Okay, God, whatever it is that You want me to have materially, whatever it is that You want me to eat, I'm going to trust You when it says in verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. I'm going to trust You with my wealth. And I'm going to remember that Your name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. I'm going to remember the Lord my God, that it is Him that gives me the ability to get wealth and not myself. It's not the government. No elected official ever gave me the ability to earn a paycheck, but it was God and God alone that did so. I'm going to trust Him with my wealth." Now I want you to see in verse number 27, it says, "Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore." What we do is our work. And I believe that we need to trust God with our work. Our work. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to do the right thing. Right? He wants you to do the right thing. Now listen. There are a lot of folks that they have a sliding scale of what they think is right and wrong. They think that God grades on a curve. And they've got some kind of philosophy of relativity in their life that everything is relative. There are no absolutes. And so they reject the absoluteness of the Word of God, its total authority in their lives. And they want to be the one that sets the standard for their own life. But folks, I believe that this is the rule book for everything that we believe and everything that we do. Don't you? And so, when it comes to the work that I do, the Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. It says in verse 3, "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So you know what God wants me to do? He wants me to trust Him and do the right thing. Trust Him and do the right thing. Folks feel so justified in doing the wrong thing because of their circumstances. You know, they think, well, you know, I've got to put food on the table and I don't have a job. God doesn't seem to be opening that door for me. So I think what I need to do is I've been asked to sell some drugs or carry some drugs for somebody. I'll just do that for a little bit because I need to do that because I've got to put food on the table. And when they justify it that way, you know what the Bible says? Trust in the Lord and do the right thing. Do good. And verily, do you know what that means? You absolutely will be. Thou shalt be fed, and verily thou shalt dwell in the land. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. God is going to take care of you. I'm saying that we've got to come to the place where we say, Lord, I'm going to trust You with the work of my hands. I'm going to do the right thing. And I'm going to trust You with the work of my hands. And then I want us to notice quickly that in verse number 34, the Bible tells us this. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and what? Wait patiently for Him. So, It tells us here, wait on the Lord and keep His way. In verse number 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. So do you know what I need to do? I need to trust Him with my waiting. With my waiting. You know, listen, there are people in this room who are not married and they would like to be married. You know, let me say to you this, that things could be worse than being single. Right? Things could be worse than being single. Right? I'm not saying anything bad about marriage. Darla reminded me that the Bible says that, you know, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. So, but sometimes people get so obsessive about this and they're like, I'm waiting for the Lord to bring Mr. Wright or Miss Wright into my life. And so they come into a church and they sit down and they think, you know, I've been told that church is a good place to try to look for a spouse. And so, you know, they come in and it's not all about them looking for Jesus, you know. They're thinking that they're looking for love in all the right places. You know what I'm saying? And so what they do is they come into the house of the Lord and they kind of start taking inventory. You know, what are the prospects here? I'm just looking at this crowd. I'm telling you, they're not very good. Just kidding. But you know, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You think that God knows the way that you take? You think God knows where you live? You think God knows your name? You think He knows your peeves? You think He wants you to live with someone for the rest of your life that doesn't know your peeves? Listen, you say, I'm just waiting, Lord, I'm waiting, you know, and it's like, I need You to send Mr. Wright into my life, sometime this week would be okay, sooner if possible, right? I'm waiting. Is that trusting the Lord? No. Then here's what people do. They say, you know, I feel that the Lord is leading me to move my membership to another church. And they'll find, you know, because, you know, I heard the pastor say something one time and it didn't settle with me. And I just felt the Spirit of God agitating me in my spirit and telling me, you got to go. You know what I say to that? You do stuff and say stuff all the time, make me want to move my letter, you know? You don't show up anytime you don't want to, and I don't have that luxury. I'm not moving my letter. No, you know what the pastor said some one time, it didn't settle with me. I feel that was the Holy Spirit telling me I need to move on. Do you know what this really means? I see no available single women in my age range at this church. God doesn't know where you live, does He? He doesn't know where you worship, does He? Do you worship? I don't know. Huh? Listen. I was going to a church smaller than Freeway Baptist Church. And you know, it was the time when I surrendered the right to ever be married. Surrendered the right to ever have companionship. Surrendered the right to have the companionship of a woman. Said, God, I'm going to let You be my everything. I'm going to be content with You and You alone. And if You never allow that into my life, then the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'll trust You anyway. You know what? When I finally relinquished it and said, I want You to be my everything, not some woman who can never fill that billet. 2 weeks later, I went on a date with Linda. 2 weeks later. You know how many single women in my general age range were in the church I attended? One. And she was engaged. One. In the whole church. Two people in the singles class, one of them was engaged and one of them wanted to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? But God knew where I lived. He knew what His will was for my life, and He knew how to take care of me. He just wanted to teach me to wait patiently for Him, to trust Him with the waiting period. Say, okay, Lord, during this waiting period, I'm just going to trust You. I'm going to wait patiently for You. And while I'm waiting, I'm going to do the right thing. Right? See, I'm leaving the church because the pastor went, and I don't think he should have done that. You know what that means? There are no available men in your age range within the church. So if you leave, we all know what that's about. Listen, here's something that the Lord is teaching us all. Last thing, we'll go home. And I promise not to spit on you anymore. Okay? Jackson, you're doing a great job paying attention, buddy, in church. I just wanted to tell you that. Look at verse number 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. Now, folks, sometimes we fall into things, don't we? Because we misstep. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. So, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It doesn't mean you're never going to take a fall. It just means that God's never going to utterly cast you down. You see that? And when you fall, it is generally not very fun. Right? We were at Slide Rock with the kids, 57 of us and all, you know. And Dorinda, I looked up, Dorinda was helping a young girl who was all bloody. And then I saw another young girl who, not from our group, but had slipped at Slide Rock, imagine that, and fallen flat on her face and knocked her teeth out and broke her nose. So generally when you fall, it hurts. You know it? It's the infliction of some pain. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. Okay? I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. Listen, they are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall, what? Slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Lastly, let me say this to you, that God is calling us to trust the Lord, trust Him with our woes. With our woes. How many of you know what woe is? How many of you have ever felt like, woe is me? There's a continual burden and heaviness on you, and sometimes it's imposed by others. Sometimes it's because we have fallen, because we've made wrong choices. But you know what God says? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? Because God will uphold you with his hand. That's what it says here. God's going to uphold you. Folks, get this. Sometimes we get so woeful in our spirits because we made bad choices and we're suffering consequences. But God hasn't cast you in the garbage can. Do you know what? The reason why you're still drawing air is because God has a purpose for your life. And you know what? When the purpose is finished, He'll cut off your air supply. Right? So God has a reason for you being here. And so He wants us to trust Him with the woes, the things that burden us, the things that trouble us. And oftentimes we're troubled by what others may do to us. How many of you have ever been betrayed? Let me see your hands. How many of you have you ever been hurt deeply by someone you trusted? Absolutely. How many of you have ever been attacked wrongfully? How many of you have ever been lied about? Look, you'll just leave your hand up. I'm telling your story here. Listen, I love this. Verse 32, look at it again. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him, who? The righteous, in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. You know, other people may judge you. They may say things about you, true or false. But do you know what? If you're His, God doesn't take the ruling of man because He's God. Do you know what we need to do? We need to say, Lord, I'm going to trust You with the woes of my heart and my life. The things that others do to me that are so heavy and so woeful to my spirit. Because I'm in Your hand. And You promised that You're never going to let go of me. And You promised, God, that You're going to uphold me with Your hand. And so, God, I just want to trust You with my woes, the things that are so hard to deal with, the people that are so difficult and unloving and unkind. God said, the Lord will not leave you in their hand. And He will not condemn you when they judge you. I don't know about you, but I care more about what God thinks and what God says and what man says. Now, I wish I felt that way every minute of every day. I don't. Sometimes I care way too much about what others think. Sometimes I care way too much about what others are feeling and saying and thinking. But ultimately, I need to understand that when I come to the end of my days, I'm not going to stand before a man. I'm going to stand before God and God alone. And that should be what motivates me, not what somebody says that doesn't like me. And so the message that God says is this: I want you to trust me with those woes in your life that may be imposed by mean men or women, as the case may be. Trust me with that. Give it to me. And so long as we're stewing and worrying and fretting about it, you know what? We haven't given it over to the Lord. We're still the Lord saying, "Oh, trust also in me. By the way, I'm not going to leave you in their hand. Trust also in me." Right? Isn't that crazy? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. Right? Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Trust in the Lord. Trust Him with your worries. Trust Him with your wants. Trust Him with your way. Trust Him with your wrath. Trust Him with your will. Trust Him with your work. Trust Him with your waiting. And trust Him with your woes. And if you would, you'd learn what it is to live a quiet and a peaceable life. Do you see how this dovetails with what we talked about this morning? Because when we trust the Lord, we'll go to Him. We'll talk to Him about it. We'll leave it with Him. Right? Absolutely. I don't know what God's doing in your heart. I know how He's speaking to mine. I know where the Spirit of God is putting His finger on my heart. And so do you. You know what God wants you to do? Trust Him. Trust Him. Oh, I'm trusting Him with my eternal salvation. We trust Him with the issue on this page that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you about right now. He's poking you about it, right? You know what it is, don't you? Come on, admit it. You know what it is. I have more than one issue on this page that God's poking me about, you know? So I'm going to leave this church. I don't like to get poked like that. You know what that means? Nothing. Folks, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths.